Welcome to the second podcast of Beer and Loathing. I am Pete M, and I'm joined by Sam Sly. How are you doing,
hey,
Sam?
Everyone. I'm great.
Good. It's been a hot fucking week. It is the last week in August as we're recording this, and holy mother of God, in Michigan, it's like 95 fucking degrees and about 1,000% humidity. My balls are in a pool of their own sweat and semen.
So you missed the tissue on that last launch, huh?
I guess.
Gross.
Maybe it was nocturnal.
My parents told me that it was hot out there, and they didn't really go into detail, but 95, and dude, with that Michigan humidity, that would just make me want to jump off a cliff.
I'm just constantly sweating. If I'm not in air conditioning, I'm just constantly sweating. And obviously, you know, we don't have air conditioning in our shitty apartment, so I'm just constantly fucking sweating.
Oh, man. Was it that, you just got back from a trip to Pennsylvania. Was it that hot over there, too?
You know, a lot of time I just spent in my bed watching YouTube videos and getting drunk. That'd be how I spent, like, the first half of my day, and then I'd go out and work. It was hot, though. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it was, like,
yeah. It
was high 80s. I mean, up in probably until fucking 6, 7 o'clock at night, and it'd start cooling off. But it was hot.
Ugh.
Meadville was pretty fun though.
Now you've been there a couple of times, you're starting to like figure out your way around.
Yeah, I did. I started to figure out where things were. And you know, last time we were talking about the beer laws and stuff like that, how things work, and you have to go through like the distributor, you know, who is the retailer. There's a loophole to it where you can buy it from a bar. A lot of bars are open till, you know, midnight or later, so you can always buy beer from a bar. And, beer to go in Pennsylvania is significantly more affordable than it is in Michigan. Because buying beer from a bar in Michigan, I mean, you can get a six pack of PBR. I think the last time I did that, it was like $9 or $10.
Okay.
And that's expensive for PBR, you know?
Yeah, that's... That just now dawned on me what you paid for it. That's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, and all the other, booze places were closed. It was on like a weekday. So I just, fuck it. Where else am I gonna get it? I'm not gonna drive drunk to, you know, up to Meijer, which is, you know, 6-7 miles away. I'll just get it from here because every other place is closed. Down there, their bars are sort of like their beer stores at night. So you can get a six pack of Tall Boy Budweisers for, I think I paid like $8, which is not bad. At all, for 16 ounce.
Oh, for, yeah, cans. Tall boys, yeah. No, that's
pack.
Cool, though.
That's great. I was happy with that. So I started to figure out how to get drunk. the best ways to go about that. You know, you go and do...
so bad, you just forget how to get drunk. It's like, what do I do again? What do I put this in my mouth, or do I shove it up my ass?
Yeah,
I
right.
don't remember anymore.
Yeah, it was a learning experience. it has been a learning experience.
Well, good. Hopefully you don't have to go back anytime soon.
I don't have to go down for another year, so I'm pretty happy about that, because that place sucks. Sorry, if you're from Meadville, you probably know that it sucks, but if you're really proud of your town, like, go to a couple other places.
Go get some culture.
Yeah,
or
go,
something.
Come to Grand Rapids, or go to Denver, or go to Boston. Or...
Shit, I mean, go to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, go to fucking Pittsburgh, man.
Philadelphia. I don't know. Anywhere. I bet you Hershey, Pennsylvania is right. Isn't that place made of chocolate?
It is.
Yeah.
Everything is made of chocolate there. It's crazy.
Like Wonkaville.
I want to go there so bad.
Well, on the plus side, though, I mean, you did drive out there, so you're able to bring back some beer, man. And that's what you're drinking right now, right?
Yeah, I'm drinking the Pumpkin. Or the Pumpkin. I don't want to put an extra P in there. Pumpkin.
You are the Pumpkin, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
who does Pumpkin is now? Is that Southern Tier?
Yes. So good.
Right on, man.
It is really, really good. And I feel kind of goofy because it's like one of the hottest days I've ever fucking dealt with all this humidity and shit, and I'm drinking a seasonal beer. I'm getting myself ready for it. Yesterday I was drinking cider too. Like, I'm just, right, well, I'm in the fall mood. It's my favorite.
You're
season.
Mentally prepping. Yeah. No, that makes sense. So, I mean, is it like, what is about it that's like good? And is a pumpkin beer, is it like spicy, or does it have a little bit of like pumpkin flavor to it, or is it just like a well-spiced one?
It's a well-spiced one. It's like,
oh, that was all nachos.
That was awesome. It's all, the spiciness of it. And, all
right.
And I mean, it tastes like pumpkin pie, dude. It just tastes like fall, you know? It's got like that nutmeg, yeah, cinnamon flavor. I think O'Fallon does one, and that one's really, really good too. That one, yeah, was like one of my favorites, but this is absolutely, oh, top notch, dude. It's so fucking good.
Huh. Me personally, like, I'm hit or miss on pumpkin beers because I don't, normally if they're really spiced, I'm not a fan. It just turns me off. So like, I can't remember the last pumpkin beer I had that I was actually like, yeah, I'll do that again.
Yeah.
So.
Well, do you like the crust on pumpkin pie?
Yeah.
Okay, you'd like this beer then.
Okay. Well, that's good.
I might have to send you one just so you can try it. It's really, really good.
I would not be opposed to that at all.
Cool.
Well, I am,
yeah, what are you drinking,
it's,
dude?
It's always fucking hot in Colorado, it seems like, this time of year, but, I'm kind of doing the opposite. Instead of drinking a beer that's going to cool me down, this thing might light me on fucking fire. I am having a Ghostface Killa from, and it's, on the label says, hottest beer this side of hell.
And who's that by?
This one's by Twisted Pine, actually. This is right up here in Boulder, Colorado.
Oh, okay.
So I'm kind of drinking local a little bit.
Word up.
You got to hear this. This is the description on the bottle. It's 6 kinds of hot chili peppers go into this fiery-ass beer, including the infamous ghost pepper, serrano, jalapeno, habanero. Fresno and Anaheim also lend their rich flavors to make for a taste sizzling good time.
Jesus Christ, dude. Those are very, very hot peppers. I want to hear you drink this.
I know, I honestly, like, usually I'm pre-drinking before I, we even start talking. And I have, honest to God, I have not taken a sip of this yet, so we're about to hear me take my first sip of Ghostface Killa. Alright, here okay. It goes, I'm kind of nervous.
Wait. Three. We're gonna... Wait, are you gonna say something?
No, not really. I think I'm just whimpering a little bit, cause it smells like a fucking hot ass pepper in my nose.
Do it. Drink it.
Oh my God, it fucking burns. Okay.
Why don't you drink like half of the glass?
Because I'm pretty sure it's gonna kill me. Wow, that's like a slow build.
How's it compared to the Spite?
God, man, you know, it's been so long since I've had Spite. Oh, okay, so you remember when Founders did all those different levels of Spite with the different peppers?
Fuck yeah, I do.
This one is not as bad as the hottest one they had.
They had habanero, and that one was the...
Yeah.
Shit, that was so good.
It was so good, but was the habanero one that was absolutely hot as shit?
You'd be, like, shaking. You'd have, like, yeah, physical fucking manifestations of the hotness of the beer as you're fucking drinking it.
My fucking friend Anthony from Texas ordered a whole, like a regular-sized glass of it. And he is no wimp, man. He's a fucking man when it comes to heat, and he did not want to finish. He's like, no, this isn't working for me, man. I got it. So he gave it to me, and I mean, it was a great beer for pacing yourself. You don't want to drink it fast.
Yeah.
But then, like, afterwards, it hung out so long because no one would drink it. And we'd go, when the band would go out and, like, tear up the town, we'd go to Founders, and everyone would get, like, a sampler. We'd take a shot of that Spite habanero stuff. And if anyone didn't know what they were getting themselves into, it was always awesome to see their face of, why did you make me drink? What the fuck is this?
I love that stuff, dude.
This is a good beer, actually. So, like, I've always said I like hot beers and, like, how they taste like pepper.
Mm-hmm.
And I just took another hit once just to actually taste the flavor. I was holding my breath, so I didn't really taste it. But, no, this has got a really good, like, pepper flavor to it. And it's, okay, yep, this is going to be a bitch. It burns more every time you drink it. It builds.
Oh, awesome.
Well, you're going to hear me fucking swearing for the rest of this episode.
You're going to hear us both swearing. I mean, we just swear on a normal
That's true.
Episode, but I'm going to be hearing you swear more, and I will welcome that with open arms.
Yeah, that's just me being redundant and stupid. So.
Yeah, when do we not swear? I think it's more weird if we're not swearing. You know, yeah, something's wrong, like somebody's holding a gun to our head, like, don't swear, motherfucker.
If you so much as say one cock piss shit or balls, your brains are going to be all over the walls. Well, that'll be good to know if we're ever in a hostage situation.
Yeah.
All we got to do is not swear and it'll be taken care of.
You ever see the episode of Trailer Park Boys where Ricky's in court after they do that gas station thing and he's trying not to swear and he's like, it's just, Your Honor, it's just bullshit. And the lawyer's like, he can't even speak without swearing, Your Honor. That's how I would feel if somebody's holding a gun to my head and was like, don't fucking swear.
Yeah. That's about right, man. I fucking love Trailer Park Boys.
Yeah, me too. So good. All the Canadian shows. Well, all the ones that I've seen, Kenny vs. Spenny, Trailer Park Boys.
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you which ones were Canadian. I just don't know. There. Shall we bring our guest on? And
yeah.
See what he's doing. He's stuck out in bumfuck West Virginia. And I'm not even going to apologize for that comment, because everyone from West Virginia that I know says the exact same thing, so I feel like I can get away with it.
Where in West Virginia?
I don't know. We'll have to ask him. It's somewhere out there.
All right.
But so our guest today is a bronze medal-winning homebrewer and an award-winning beard grower in the under 3 inches category. And, yeah, we're talking about the beard. I can't speak to the rest of it.
And we're talking about his boner.
So this is a guy who actually taught me to brew beer and also once helped me at knife point in a cemetery. So let's get my good friend.
Cemetery?
A
seminary or a cement?
Wow. I think we just found a speech impediment. Cemetery.
There you go.
I honestly had a hard time saying, wow. Uh-oh. This ghost face killer affects you in different ways.
Yeah.
Oh, Christ. All right. Well, let's get Noel on the fucking phone.
Gentlemen.
What's up, dude?
Same old shit, man.
Word up.
Living the dream here in fucking West Virginia.
Hey, what part of West Virginia are you in? We were just kind of, I give everyone a little intro and we weren't sure what part of it you were in.
I'm in Logan, which is kind of like the southwest side.
Coal country, right?
It is coal country. Pretty much all of West Virginia is coal country.
That sounds like fun. Oh, man.
Well, it's a lot better now that I have my luggage.
How long do you live without your luggage for? And what's the story leading up to that? Because I heard you just had from the brief Facebook posts that you had, it sounded like you had a shitty trip down there.
Oh, it was awful. I'll make this long story as short as possible.
Sure.
I went through United, and this is a bash on United. Don't ever fly there.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was your first mistake.
Yeah, well, apparently. So I got to Washington, Dallas yesterday afternoon, well, right around noon. Apparently my flight to Charleston was canceled, which sucks. And then they had another flight at 5, which they couldn't get me on. And then they automatically set me on a flight Tuesday morning. And that wasn't going to work. So they did eventually, they got us on a flight from U.S. Airlines, but it was at a different airport. So I had to, they gave me a voucher for a taxi to take me to another airport. And that flight left at 8 o'clock. So,
Jesus Christ.
They told me to, pick up my bags at Carousel to take to the other airport so that I could take that with me. And I waited for like 2 hours for my bags, and apparently they were just like, well, we don't know where it is, but it's probably just going to get sent to Charleston. I was like, oh, great.
Cause that's where I'm going.
Yeah. I was like, well, I got to go. So I ended up leaving, and, they gave me like, $20 of vouchers for food, which I don't know if you've ever eaten at an airport, but $20 does not get you much.
You can get a piece of pizza and
that's about
pretty much it.
Yeah. I would have tried to spend all that $20 on beer, but like, beer is food.
Bloody Mary doubles, please.
I tried that. They didn't like it.
fucking prudes in West Virginia.
Yeah, yeah, that wasn't very cool.
Oh, man. Well,
so I sat around the airport until 8 o'clock when we left, and I finally got into Charleston about 9:30-ish, got my rental car, and could not find my baggage, my bag. So then I drove about an hour into Logan. I don't know. I was supposed to go out in the field and do some work last night, and that didn't happen, obviously. And then even this morning, they didn't have it. And so I don't know why, but I took a shower. and then I got back into the clothes I was wearing for 20 hours.
So defeating.
Hey, well, at least, you know, you could say you were kind of cleaner a little bit.
Slightly. I thought about
for about 5 seconds.
Yeah, well, it was pretty awful. But, so then I went into the shop and, like, stinky clothes, stinky socks, no deodorant. Like, it was awful. I was at the shop till about noon, and by the time I got back, man, I stunk so bad. it was disgusting. And I didn't even do anything. All I did was go to the shop and, like, talk to one of our techs down there.
Shake your fucking hands.
It was awful. But by the time I got back here about noon, my baggage showed up, so.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Well, looks like I see you drinking a Yuengling over there, huh?
Yeah.
A couple of them.
Very nice. After a day or a half like that, I'm surprised you didn't just put a case down.
Yeah, well, I wanted to. And I the night is young.
Right.
That's true.
No, man. Okay, so I'll break into what I'm drinking right now first, because I don't know if you heard me cry out when I drank some a little bit ago. I'm drinking this beer. In fact, I'm going to turn on my camera so you can see it.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah. We had bandwidth problems earlier, so I might have to turn it back off. But this shit is hot as unholy piss.
Ghost-faced killer.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got, like, 6 different kinds of peppers and stuff in it, including a ghost pepper and, like, serrano, habanero, and all this other shit. So every sip I take, it's like building on the intense heat from the very first swig I took like 5 minutes ago.
Hmm.
But it's actually, I mean, you would hate it because it's hot.
Yeah.
But,
it doesn't sound pleasant.
No, I mean, I know how sensitive you are to like Checkers fries. This would murder you.
Yeah, well, I'll still steer clear.
But it tastes like a pepper.
I want to try that so badly. It's ridiculous.
No, I got one for you.
What
so.
Brewery was out? Was that? I'm sorry, I missed that.
Actually, I didn't say the brewery when you were on the horn here. It's brewed by Twisted Pine out here in Boulder.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. And actually, I just noticed it's a fucking twist-off.
Lame.
Like Cap. I was a little shocked. I don't know. I don't know how to feel about that.
Yuengling does twist-off, but, like, I'm not trying to knock Yuengling because it's pretty good beer, but it is the best beer that you can get in West Virginia. Hands down. You can get High Life, Bud Light, and Yuengling. Like,
wow.
There's nothing better than this.
That's
I didn't realize that
terrible.
Their selection was so limited.
You know, for a state that likes to drink moonshine, you think that they could, like, it's either moonshine or piss water, and like nothing in between, like nothing.
Fire water or piss water.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. I guess those are the two things that are going to happen if you're going to marry your relatives.
Boom.
Pete, what are you drinking again?
I'm drinking the Pumpkin by Southern Tier, and it's so goddamn good. I am drinking it, and it's kind of ironic, I was saying earlier, because it's hot as fuck in Michigan and incredibly humid, and I'm sweating my nuts off, but I'm drinking a fall beer.
Yeah, it's a little bit early for pumpkin beers, isn't it? But
not anymore.
No, dude, because they release things so fucking early now.
Yeah, I can't remember who the brewery is, but there was one brewery that I read online that said they're not going to release it until September because it's a fall beer, and everyone's like, yay, I like this status. And I agree with it. I think it's ridiculous
dude.
How they keep pushing seasonals, you know, to be the first or earliest out and shit. It's like
Oktoberfest come out like the end of July.
Yeah.
You're not even fucking close to Oktoberfest season, dude. Like, why are you releasing your beer now?
Yeah.
They had Sam Adams Oktoberfest at the airport yesterday. I was like, huh. Well, a little bit premature. Mm-hmm.
But we'll take it.
Yeah, they had about 2,000 bottles of Pumpkin at this place that I went to buy my beer down there.
You know, there's a guy I follow on the internet that I think he said Pumpkin is his favorite pumpkin beer. And pumpkin beer is like one of his favorite styles.
Where did you get that, Pete?
Meadville.
Meadville? Where the hell are you?
Oh, I'm in Grand Rapids now, but I saw they had a ton of these down there, and I hadn't seen it in Michigan yet, so I was like, fuck it, I'll grab it and try it.
He was there all last week, Noel.
Oh, yeah, I was there on business last week.
Where is that? Was that the Pennsylvania trip?
Yeah, that's, it's like a half hour south of Erie, which is at like the top, most northern part of Pennsylvania in that little notch, and it's about an hour and a half north of Pittsburgh.
Hmm. So cool.
Between those two cities. No, it's not really cool. It's kind of a shitty...
It's cool that you got some good beer from there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, they had a couple of beer bars that I went to. They had Founders, a lot of Founders there, actually. Nice out. But, yeah, they...
There's a fireball.
Couple of good beer bars that I went to. Other than that, though, it was like watching Duck Dynasty reruns.
They're in Louisiana, so that's like
close. I hear you, man. I hear you.
Yeah, I'm sure you're feeling the same.
I was in Walmart today, and they have Duck Dynasty t-shirts all over.
Oh, hey, you know, when you, like, leave the airport in West Virginia, does, like, Deliverance just start playing on a banjo over, like, all the intercoms?
You know, no, but they should.
Please do not leave luggage unattended. You sure do have a pretty mouth, boy.
Do a little
banjo.
No, that's the song when you're flying in, when you're landing.
Yeah. Well, we thought it was actually pretty a good segue, because we suck at segues, that Pete was drinking a pumpkin beer. And you made a pretty good pumpkin beer. I can't remember if that was last year's or the year before.
Saying we suck at segues is a total understatement, by the way, but continue.
Yeah.
To answer your question, probably both, and that was probably probably not the only one. For a while there, I had a pretty good recipe for a pumpkin beer. That I was pretty happy with. I don't know you know my style. I don't want too much of that spiciness. I just want enough.
Yeah. Yeah, you and me are on the same boat in that sense, man. That's why I think I've always liked yours.
Yeah, enough to be present, but most of all, you know, I want a good solid mouthfeel and a lot of body to it. It's hard for me to do, but I try to restrain a little bit on the hops for my pumpkin beer.
Yeah.
And actually, most of the time when I do make a pumpkin beer, even though it is delicious, and everybody's like, oh my god, it's so good, I usually am like, it needs more hops.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I you'll have to listen back to when we're finished to hear your intro. That's kind of the rule. It's how we trick people into listening to our podcast. But, I mentioned that you're the guy that taught me to brew, and I mean, I'm pretty sure you instilled my hefty love of the hop into, you ingrained it essentially into my being.
You know, you're not the only one.
No, I know.
It seems I make hop heads out of everybody that I talk beer with.
It could have something to do with the fact whenever you invite someone over to brew for the first time, we make them eat a hop pellet.
Yeah, well, I mean, think about it. I think, Pastor Rick, He's turned into a little bit of a hophead.
Really?
Rusko, nice. Rusko, my coworker, is a little bit more of a hophead. I don't know. I'm sure there's more, but,
I actually did not partake in that tradition the first time that I came to brew. I think it was, maybe the third or the fourth time I came over. One of the guys brought over a big bag of it, and I chewed on a fresh one.
Oh, it's awfully delicious.
Oh, it's so good.
How did you get away with brewing with us four times before anyone shoved a hop down your throat? That's kind of amazing.
That's a really, really good question. I have no idea how I escaped that.
Hop rape is a common thing, and it's not as violent as it sounds.
Yes, it is.
Well, I don't think we necessarily had that tradition from the beginning, from the get-go.
That is true. I don't even remember exactly how it started, other than we're like, hey, let's... I know I started, and maybe you did too, started dropping some hop pellets into our beers while we were brewing just because we're like, hey, let's dry hop this as fresh as possible.
Yep.
And then you start putting in your fucking mouth like a wad of chewing tobacco and...
You know, I think what happened is like, I wanted to eat one, but I wasn't going to go it alone. So like, I was like, oh, newbie, you're going to do this with me.
What probably. Was the beer that you were brewing last time that I was there when I actually had to leave for Meadville? Because I went to a brew day with Noel the morning that I left for Meadville.
I did an Imperial Porter.
Oh, that's what it was. And I had the Black Cox Black.
you sure
Black
did.
Hill. Yeah, I got a couple of Black Cocks in me before I took off.
Well, that's the award winner right there.
The black oatmeal IPA.
So good.
Oh man. Yeah, I'm real fond of it. So that was actually like the second iteration of it. The first one I didn't like as much. I think this one you had, I made a few changes to it, and I think it turned out really well.
I know you recorded those changes, and I hope you brew a beer exactly like that in the future.
Well, yeah, I hope I did too.
That's the one thing about homebrewing, man, is like recreating something spot on is fucking hard.
Oh man, it's very difficult. You know, I think a lot of it was, and I'm gonna even hate myself for saying this. I think I might have just way overhopped the first one.
What?
I used almost a pound of hops.
In 10 gallons?
In 10 gallons.
That seems appropriate. Was it like wet hops or something, or were they fresh, or did you actually get like a pound of fucking pellets or dried leaf?
You know, I think it was like 14 ounces, and most of it.
Oh God.
Most of it was late edition.
So is it super
duper bitter or what?
No, it wasn't
bitter.
Yeah,
that wouldn't give it any bitterness.
Oh, it wouldn't?
Not a bunch, but. Oh, okay. Were they all different kinds?
Yeah, I could look it up, what I did, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, I was just gonna say, like, I could see if you added, you know, 8 ounces of a different hop, I just wonder if there'd be, like, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but just, like, hop confusion, because they'd all be, like, you know, the different aromas and the different, like, you know, the different hop profiles be fighting each other.
You know, that very well could be. Oh, here, I got the recipe here. What did I do the first time?
And the first time was the one you submitted for that homebrew competition at Sisternals, right?
Yeah, and actually, you know, bronze medal, so.
Yeah, man, hey, that's on the podium, right, man. Fucking A. Nothing to be ashamed of there.
It was about 84 IBUs. I had Amarillo, Chinook, and Simcoe at 60. Chinook, Magnum, and Simcoe at 15. 3 ounces of Cascade and 1 ounce of Simcoe at 0 at Flameout.
Jesus Christ.
And
you had 4 at Flameout, 4 ounces at Flameout?
Yeah, that might have been a little much. And I did 2 ounces of Cascade for dry hopping, so basically one in each fermenter.
Okay. Well, that's not too outrageous. I mean, the 4 at Flameout's pretty fucking funny to me, but.
At least that's what my recipe called for. I'd have to look back at my handwritten notes on my data sheet.
Yeah.
If that's what I actually did. But this second batch, I only did 2 ounces of Cascade at Flameout.
Okay.
And I was still at 77 IBUs, and I only used 9 ounces of hops the second time around. I dialed the gravity back a little bit. It was still above 7%, but
okay.
For everybody who doesn't know, what does your brewing rig consist of? Sam and I have seen it a billion times, but just so everybody knows, what is your brewing rig? I know you hand built it, so this is a point of awesomeness.
What you would classify as a Brims brewery, a recirculating infusion mash. I've got 3 kegs. First one's a hot liquor tank. It's where I heat up my water. The second one's a mash tun, which is where I soak my grains in hot water to release the sugary goodness from the grains. And then I have my boil kettle. And they're 3 Sankey kegs that I cut the tops off and drilled some holes in.
One of them we drank ourselves, too, which was a point of pride.
Yes, nice. That is true. And then I have a March pump that I use for transferring. I do a batch sparge, and for those If you don't know what a batch sparge is, it's basically I soak my mash for an hour, and then I totally drain it into the boil kettle, and then I find out how much more I need to fill up the boil kettle to get the final volume I need, and then I introduce that much more water into my mash tun to kind of get any of that residual sugar that's available, and then run that through the mash tun, get that out of the grains, and then run that back into my boil kettle. As opposed to continuous sparging, where you're transferring from the mash to the boil kettle, and as you're draining it, you're also filling it.
Which you gotta do super duper slow. Like, my brother-in-law Mark used to, do that kind of, sparging, and man, it would take, I remember the one time we brewed a 10-gallon batch together, it took for fucking ever to fill up the 10-gallon kettle. And once he came and brewed with us one time, he saw the batch sparge, and he's like, holy shit, that's way faster. I'm like, I know, that's why I like doing it. And he's gone back, and like he's been saying he had near identical efficiency doing batch sparging versus the previous way he did it.
So, yeah, I know. There was an article about the different styles of mashing in Brew Your Own magazine.
Is there any significant advantage to doing one or the other?
I think it's just time, really.
Yeah. Is that it, then? Has the advantage of time, and the other one doesn't really impart any other advantages?
Well, I think you will see a little bit, from my recollection, see a little bit of... increased efficiency doing batch sparging.
And efficiency is just the percent of the total available, like, sugars, like fermentables, that you pull out of the grain, essentially, is what that is. Right, Noel?
Right.
Yeah.
But to be honest with you, you know, if I'm doing a batch sparge and say I'm 70% efficient, as opposed to, say, if I did a continuous sparge and I was 75% efficient, you know, if it takes me that much longer to do it, or I have to buy another pump, you know, it's not worth it for me. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to throw a couple extra pounds of grain in my bill.
Yeah.
And accommodate for that.
What is the efficiency again? When you're saying efficiency, is that like the amount of sugar that you extract from? I have no idea what that means.
For every pound of grain, there's like a set amount of sugar that's in there.
Okay.
Efficiency is basically calculating how much of that sugar you actually got out of it.
Okay. All right.
Homebrewers tend to run about 75%. I'm not sure what macro brews do. I'm sure they're more than that.
They have biochemists working for them, though. So,
well, some of them do, some of them don't, man. I mean, the breweries I've been in, unless these biochemists are very well camouflaged as just dudes with beards, I don't think they're bio.
Well, I mean, like, for Anheuser-Busch, for instance, I'm sure. I mean, I know for a fact.
Those guys are freaking scientists, man.
Yeah.
Those guys are probably chemical engineers.
Right. But the thing is, you know, if I have to throw another 5 pounds of grain in, or not even that, if I have to throw another 2 pounds of grain in, you know, that's another 250.
Yeah.
But for a 10-gallon batch. But if you're working on, like, a 600-barrel system, I don't know, anizer does, whatever. I'm sure it's enormous.
Yeah.
Then your efficiencies will actually start to
matter.
Dig into your profit margin.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm not trying to. I'm sure it's not just those guys. I'm sure founders worries about their efficiency too.
That's okay. We'll just make fun of Anheuser-Busch because they're Anheuser-Busch and fuck them.
They're easy to pick on. But I mean, for any brewer bigger than like a homebrew system, I mean, if you start talking, you know, double digit gallons, your costs start to get on your mind, you know, because then you're like, okay, well, if I'm only fucking 65% efficient, I have to make up with this much grain, it's gonna cost this much, and I mean, yeah, it starts to take a, you know, significant toll on your wallet if you're brewing big batches and you're not efficient.
Yeah, I mean, you're not gonna stay in business if you're not, you know, making money. I mean,
anybody in it to make money is gonna be, they may not fret over it, but they're at least gonna be aware of it, and try to do what they can to minimize it.
Yeah.
Me, at my scale, it doesn't even matter. You know, it's so small. And, you know, I don't even know if my efficiency is, I don't even know what my efficiency is, typically. I know it's around the 70 to 75% range.
I remember one time you and me hit 80 on when we end up making that, I ended up calling it that Irish IPA.
Yeah.
It was like that red IPA. You calculated out, and I'm 90% sure you said we hit 80%, and you know, 60% of statistics are made up, so take that what you will, but I'm pretty sure we hit something really good that one time, and that was a fucking tough beer. That was like 8%, man. That was the one, Pete, when, we were like doing some voiceover work, and Pete drank one of those, and, had some other like painkiller or something, and then he, we're like doing this voiceover, and Pete's just like,
it's just all slurring. I went back and looked at it again, and I'm like, oh my god, dude, you can't even fucking understand me.
Glorious, man.
We may have hit that, but you never know. My calculations might have been off, because basically what you need to do is find your gravity, your specific gravity, and multiply it by your total volume of what you got out of it.
Yeah.
So well, any error in those two measurements could change your efficiency readings.
I believe we could trust your math better than if we used my math, because my math
or yours
is
and
almost
guaranteed
combined wrong.
I mean, even if Sam and I did our math combined, it'd still be wrong.
We checked each other's work for consistency and be like,
well, we're 130% efficient.
Those are numbers.
We're really,
that's
really good.
That's awesome.
Let's just round up for everything. So, I mean, you've been doing this for years. I mean, how long have you been doing it for, Noel?
7 or 8 years now.
And I was going to say, you've had to be doing it since we graduated, at least when I graduated college.
And I mean, that's a long time. And I know recently, I wish I could have gone to the Big Brew Day, but of course I had to do another fucking work trip that made me out of state for that weekend. But I never got to hear about that.
Oh, and you guys said you weren't good at segues.
I like to throw them
every
in there
now and then. We get lucky.
I like to throw them in there sometimes.
Yeah, that was a spectacular event.
Hey, do me a favor and describe kind of what it was a little bit, because I mean, I know only 5 people listen to this, but odds are they might not know exactly what we're talking about.
Well, the Big Brew event was, you know, every time I talk to somebody about it, they're like, "Oh, well," or like after the fact, they're like, "Well, how'd you do?" I was like, thank you.
Brewed 10 gallons of beer, man. We did great.
Yeah, I made up with 10 gallons of beer. I think I won. But everybody thought, seemed to think it was a competition. And that was totally not the case. The only purpose of the Big Brew event was to promote brewing in Grand Rapids, homebrewing.
And it took place on National Homebrew Day, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Let's see. Siciliano's really sponsored it. And kind of, along with the American Homebrew Association, kind of gave it their blessing. But Siciliano's.
And if anybody's listening does not know about Siciliano's, it's a beer store in Grand Rapids, and it's like fucking Legoland for beer lovers.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Anyway. Whether it's you're brewing it or you just want to buy some and drink it, it's got anything you could possibly need there.
That's a shameless plug as well, but that place
is... Hey, man. Are they paying you for that?
No, but if they
wish,
want to,
yeah.
I wouldn't say no.
Yeah, bring it on. But, I mean, they have brewing supplies, and they have beer from all over the place. It's ridiculous. But, anyway.
They have a fantastic beer selection. Their grain selection is top-notch. I have not even heard of any place else that has that kind of selection for ingredients for homebrew. It's always fresh because it's so popular. They have a lot of turnover. Like I've been to other places that have homebrew supplies and like have a 1/4 inch of dust on it. And you're like, I don't know if I want to use this malt extract.
I didn't know I came to a homebrew bodega.
Yeah, I wish they were paying us for this, man. This is like an awesome plug for them.
I will talk about, even though I don't even live anywhere near them anymore, I'll talk about them good all day long if they listen and just say, hey, that was fun.
Yeah.
Steve Siciliano, I mean, he's been a champion of homebrewing since before I've been homebrewing. I mean, it's always been where I've gone for my ingredients. You know, only a few times have I stopped anywhere else, and it's usually because they are a little bit farther away than a couple other shops, and if I need something real quick or it's on my way or whatever, there's a couple other spots I'll stop here.
We'll edit that part out so they don't hear that, Noel. Otherwise, you might just got disowned.
Well, fair enough.
But so they sponsored this Big Brew event, and I mean, so they organized it, sponsored it. I guess what did the actual event entail then? So I know there was like teams that would enter and, you know.
Yeah, there was, I think there was 40 or 45 teams that registered. I don't think all of them showed up, but basically you reserved a spot on Calder Plaza and you reserved a bag of ingredients provided by Sicilianos.
Dude, that's fucking awesome to me. That's so cool.
And it was ingredients for a 5-gallon batch of Beer City IPA. And I don't know who came up with the recipe, but it doesn't matter. It was delicious. it was a pretty simple IPA with a pretty simple grain bill. And I don't know if I have, actually, I wonder if I have the recipe here.
Yeah, you modified it, right?
No. I thought about it because I emailed them and asked, can I modify this? Because I'm going to do a 10-gallon batch. Can I modify it and, you know, buy my own ingredients or whatever on top of what you're giving us? He's like, I don't care. You do whatever you want. I'm giving you ingredients for 5 gallons of beer. If you want to only use those ingredients to do a 10-gallon beer of some wheat beer, you can do that. If you want to make an IPA, he's like, you're just responsible for the rest of your ingredients. Like I said, it wasn't a competition. There wasn't really much going on. All it was
bunch of dudes who love drinking beer.
Yeah, he was just trying to promote it.
It's a group brew.
Yeah, exactly. So it had a pound and a half a Carrum Munich 40.
Okay.
11 pounds of Superior malt, which is just a regular pale
base malt.
And then 3.5 pounds of Victory malt was for the 5-gallon batch.
Okay. Did they do any, like substitutions for people that might want to extract brew, or was it just all grain or nothing?
It was all grain or nothing.
All right.
Did everybody have pretty good rigs that came out there? I mean,
there were some wicked cool, rigs up there. Mine was probably, like, within the top 10 cool, rigs. Most people had like igloo coolers and turkey fryers.
Yeah.
Which I've been there and it worked and you can make great beer out of it. And there's a couple of people who had some 10-gallon systems, including myself. Some of them were gravity fed. Some of them were pumped. There was one that had a really kick-ass, electric, temperature controlled unit, for the mash and that
was electric. Temperature control, or was it still gas?
I don't remember if it was electric controlled or if it was like solenoids to control the flame of a burner.
Okay. But still, it was pretty slick.
So just give everybody an idea of what Noel's brew rig looks like. It's like a steel bench with three hollowed out kegs with the tops missing on them. And they're all side by side on this bench with big fucking propane burners underneath them.
We call it the Three Wise Men.
And it has a couple of holes drilled, a hole drilled in, one for measuring the level of liquid, right? I can't remember what tank that's on, but it's kick ass. It's totally badass.
We've got that. I've got sight gauges on my hot liquor tank and on my boil kettle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Know how much is going in and how much is there and boiling off.
But yeah, so Brian Cox actually came out with his truck and he picked up all my equipment and we determined that in case of apocalypse that he has just enough room for all of his guns and all of my brewing equipment.
that will be all you need.
Who has the beer and guns will rule them all, man.
So I think
I'm going with you guys, by the way.
Yeah, I'll come home from the apocalypse.
So we got down there and they had we got unloaded and I think we got there plenty early because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't rushing anything and I'd rather just sit and let my mash go a little extra than having to try to rush things.
It's like a good poop. You don't want to force it.
Right. You gotta let that shit build up.
Weren't they staging people's start times too? So when people were done, they could use that cooling unit. Cause
yeah, they had 45 people trying to brew beer, and 6 hour period or whatever, and there were some guys there that that showed up at like 6 o'clock in the morning.
Damn.
Yeah, well, they were there. They were there early. I don't remember what time I showed up, but maybe like eight or nine.
That's still early on a Saturday.
I had one of the, yeah, it is. I had one of the later ones. I don't think I was done brewing till after afternoon sometime.
Yeah, I want to say, I don't remember if your start time was 1 or if that was when you were supposed to be done, but there was, I remember the time 1 o'clock was thrown around.
That might have been when I was scheduled for the chiller.
Okay. Can you describe the chiller? Like, I saw the pictures. They call this thing the Scorpion, and it has, like, what, 6 lines that go in or something? How'd that work?
They hooked it up to a fire hydrant.
Oh, nice.
The water came through and into this big plastic container, this big bin, and it had heat exchangers or copper coils on it, and it broke out into 6 copper coils, and the water ran through the copper coils in this bucket that was full of ice, and then it came out and then into another copper coil that you would submerge into your beer. It was an immersion chiller.
Wow. Okay.
And then the second copper coil would go in your beer to chill it. And then it was hooked back up again to an exit line that went into a controlled sewer or whatever, because the city wanted to make sure that we weren't just dumping a bunch of water in their storm drain.
Imagine that. Especially after all the flooding they just had, they're probably like, we're going to just flood the city one more time before it's all
started. Well, yeah. It wasn't that bad, but they I don't know why, but they were like, we don't want any water going down the drain. If you have to drain something, they had big bins out there. Man, this thing was so well organized, and I think next year it's going to be even better.
Are they planning on doing it again for a second year?
I freaking hope so, because it was awesome.
I'll be there for the second year.
Yeah, Peel joined now he knows that it's cool. He's like, yeah, I'll do it, sure.
I would have been there if I wasn't in fucking San Diego. Admittedly, San Diego was badass, but I would have loved to be at Big Brew Day.
Oh, man.
Oh, we got to do a toast with Mayor Hartwell.
Sure. Just because they were kind of celebrating Beer City.
That was the 1 o'clock. That was the 1 o'clock was the toast.
Oh. Yeah, I think there was actually a toast around the entire fucking country, because that day I remember reading on Twitter about a bunch of people doing some weird toast at some screwed up time for me, because I'm 2 hours behind wherever you guys are over there.
Yeah, that was the 1 o'clock toast. That's what that was.
I want to say there was another one later in the evening, but no, that makes sense, because you guys were kind of celebrating Grand Rapids getting Beer City USA too, right?
Yeah, it was, I believe that was about the same time.
Yeah, I want to say it was right around the time it got announced.
If I recall correctly, it was around that same exact time, so.
That's why you're doing the Beer City IPAs, because like, fucking killing it.
Mm-hmm.
So. No, that's badass, man. Yeah. That was cool.
They had a truck full of bottled water there. Wow. They had cigars for sale. most of the homebrewers had homebrew to share with everybody.
That's what I was gonna say, man. Level with me. Did you get a little wild now while you're doing the brewing? I mean, you know, what brewer doesn't like to drink a little bit of beer?
I'm all business when I'm brewing.
Sure you are.
That's
I guess yeah.
I don't remember the last half of the brew day.
That's why you had a designated.
No, it wasn't that bad. It was good. There was I was pretty focused on what I was doing, trying to at least. But it was nice that we were there early, and there was a time where we're like, oh, well, we're set to go. We don't need to do anything for another half hour. Let's go try to mooch some beer off of people.
Yeah. So did you try any other homebrewers, like any other homebrewers, beers?
Oh yeah, man. Yeah, there was a lot of guys sharing out there. There was a lot of clubs out there. Some people had keg setups. Some people just had bottled beer. There was probably 3 or 4 I tried. Right next to me, the guys next to me had some beer that was pretty good.
Cool.
I don't remember what it was, but
that just seems like a sweet, like, brewers, like, get together thing where everyone's brewing some beer. They got some beer to share.
Well, you know? I mean, it's an opportunity to brag about your beer and about the system you have, and to talk to other people and see what kind of systems they have, what kind of beers they brew, talk about experiences and their trials and tribulations of home brewing and to try to, learn, really.
Yeah, man.
And enjoy the hobby. And we had a couple of locals that were kind of funny coming in and like, oh, you guys are handing out beer. Can I have some? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Just kind of passing through, like, hey, this is pretty sweet.
It was. I had three beers on tap. I borrowed a jockey box from a friend of mine, a coworker of mine, and I had three beers on tap. What did I have? I had the Beer Erection Brown.
Thanks, Pete. Nice.
I had the Koipa.
Oh yeah.
And I never got to try the Beer Erection Brown. I am so fucking pissed about that.
Yeah, did you give him the idea for the name?
Maybe.
And
it's like one of our favorite hashtags on Instagram.
I know, and I didn't even get to fucking try it.
And I had a spring wheat, so.
Oh god. I just inhaled fiery hot beer.
You were choked up about my spring wheat comment.
Nope, not at all. I'm choked up by ghost pepper beer on my uglottis. Oh, okay, carry on. I'm sorry. I'm breaking a sweat here, guys. I'm not lying.
Nice. Yeah, I don't think I'll still steer clear of that stuff.
Oh man, I'd love to see your face on this one. That I want to see Pete's face too, because this is going to be one of joy.
There's You'll some see my O face sediment. When I drink that.
I about made an O shit face on that last poll. Oh, they got some like wicked yeast sediment up in this thing too. Or it's just bits of pepper, I can't tell which.
Bits of pepper, nice.
I'm gonna go with it's probably yeast. Hey man, I appreciate you coming on and chatting us up, Noel. I haven't actually had a chance to really fully pick your brain about the big brew event, but that sounded just cool as hell, man. I'm glad you got to be a part of that. And
it was so well organized, and it's awesome that Steve Siciliano's put the whole thing on and organized it. And I mean, it wasn't just him. Obviously, he had a whole team behind him. Whole staff of Siciliano's is awesome. It's awesome that the mayor of Grand Rapids was there promoting it. I mean,
hey man, he's got the brightest spot in Michigan right now. He should fucking promote that stuff.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah. Well, if they do another one next year, be sure to let me know because, I'd like to actually give someone control of the Beer and Loathing, Facebook account. Unless Pete actually goes and then he'll just have access to it anyways, but I wouldn't mind someone to like take over our Twitter and, Facebook and just kind of
real time it.
Yeah, have full-on representation there at something like that. That'd be just cool as hell. Take pictures, whatever weird shit happens. Chronicle it, so to speak. Well, right on, man. Well, hey, enjoy the rest of your trip to West Virginia, and I hope your fucking bag makes it home safe. And you too.
Yeah, well, that'll be fine, because at least I got clean underwear at home.
Yeah.
It doesn't have...
You know me, I appreciate a pair of clean underwear more than most people.
I don't doubt that one.
Alright.
Alright, man.
Well, alright, we'll talk to you later, Noel.
Alright, man. It was good talking with you guys.
Yeah, you too,
you
man.
Too, dude.
Alright, Pete, shall we wrap this up?
Indeed, we shall.
Alright, I can't remember what we said last time. I was pretty fucking hammered after that. But
I was too, and I'm a little buzzed right now. But I know we said, come drink with us on Twitter, and it's twitter.com/...
So Twitter, Facebook, beerandloathing.com, and don't forget to check out our blog at www.beerandloathing.com, and you can read what kind of dumb shit we like to write about and keep up with our podcasts. So
always remember, it's beer, letter N, loathing, beerandloathing.com.
Yeah.
Don't forget, stop at Siciliano's.
Yeah, and Siciliano's rules.
Yeah, boom.
Boom. Shameless plug for somebody that's not even famous. 12. Come drink with us on Twitter, and it's twitter.com/ and god damn it, Noel's still on the call and his fucking ass is just
who let that asshole on camera.
Oh fuck.
that I didn't even see. Has he just been sitting with no pants the whole time?